You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Big Sui, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Tony has proclaimed the Arizona Cardinals the best team in football. Mike Ryan has traded Odell Beckham. Jessica is watching the end of Ben Roethlisberger's painful end because the Steelers are bad. And Stu Godden running around his home with his pants off, gyrating into his Sunday night because the Jets are winners. Let's start, though, with something you don't get a chance to do very often in the Washington-Atlanta game. I was very excited because the announcer and this McKissick, the athleticism in this league is crazy right now. McKissick jumps from the 4-yard line and ends up jumping 10 yards into the end zone. And we get the great pleasure of the announcer saying, "The goal line wraps around the earth." The announcer. It's unnecessary. It could just, you know, it could just go 10 yards further, but they say it wraps around the entire earth.
I'm going to need clarification on when the goal line started wrapping around the earth again, too, because it stopped wrapping around the earth again for the last 6 years, and now it's back. I don't know if the announcer is confused or the competition committee made a ruling, but
I was very excited. I was very excited to hear it. I didn't expect it to happen in the Atlanta-Washington game. I thought it would be in a more important game, but it's been announced. I want to first parse. Stu Gatz will be here in a second, but I want to parse through Jessica's misery. Your Steelers are terrible, and this is the way quarterbacks age. And Ben Roethlisberger, you realize it's done, right? You realize it's over.
I think I was realizing that at about week 12 in 2020.
When they went to 11-1, when they lost their first game of the season, you were willing to say, okay, he's
week
done.
Week 12, they lost that game, winnable game. That was when I knew. You know what? I think maybe it was when they lost the Bengals in 2020. I think it was that week. That's when I knew, Dan. It's just, the team, the franchise, we need to move forward. But there was no backup plan. That's what the problem is, right? The Steelers' backup quarterback is still Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph wasn't good when the Steelers had a good offensive line 2 years ago. He's not going to be good now when they have nobody on their offensive line. So what do you do?
My favorite part of that game was Mike Tomlin calling a timeout and smirking. Great camera work by everybody involved, smirking at Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers smirked back because he didn't catch the Steelers unprepared. But Mike, you've got to be able to gloat here. Your Cleveland Browns are not only good, that's a game they rarely win. The Vikings are, I think we can agree, they're not, they don't feel as bad as a 1-3 team, even though I still don't know whether Kirk Cousins is good. And there was a certain soothing in seeing Ryan Tannehill be exactly the same as he was 7 years for the Dolphins as soon as you take his wide receivers. But why are you trading Odell Beckham?
Oh, the play at the end where Cleveland could have iced it. Look, anytime you can win a road game at one of Stu's top five teams in the NFL, you're going to take that, especially if you don't play well. Mm-hmm. A huge dub for the Cleveland Browns. I'm very curious to see how they slot in Stu Gatz's power rankings now that they won on the road at a top five team, despite not playing very well. The Cleveland Browns haven't put together a really good complete game this season, and they sit at 3-1 after four games. This is all very new for me. I am not going to take it for granted. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of banter towards Baker Mayfield, who hasn't been great really the last 2 weeks, really the last 3 weeks, dealing with a shoulder injury. He's had a lot of pressure, more pressure than we'd assume with that offensive line, but I am not going to be the guy that starts taking the wind out of a 3-1 start. I'm over the moon with this team.
You took the wind out of it by trading Odell Beckham. You are already trading players. We'll get back to that in a second. But Tony, I was walking past the television the other day, and it's always funny to me when we do this at 3-0 and 4-0 before injuries hit or anything else. But as I was walking past the television on ESPN, I was fairly shocked that Vegas had already made the Rams Super Bowl favorites. They had moved the Rams into Super Bowl favorites, and then Arizona goes in there and just drags them. And that team's skill position guys are so fun. Like everyone just assumed AJ Green was spent. Is that what happened? Or is AJ Green resurrected? Because when you've got that kind of speed at the skill positions and Kyler Murray makes it look that easy, next thing you know, you could just toss it up to AJ Green whenever he's covered and the cornerback's not going to be able to do anything about it.
Well, they exhumed the corpse of AJ Green because he was absolutely toast in Cincinnati. And the one route that he can do that's still in his route tree is the go route. So for him, it's like Kyler Murray's just going to run around the backfield, find AJ Green stretching the field, and they're going to throw it to him. Like Christian Kirk's been awesome this year. Rondell Moore's been awesome this year. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in football. They've got Max Williams with two X's running into the end zone, catching touchdowns over people. Like they have, I'm not going to say they have the best skill position players in the league, but like they're damn close. And all of a sudden, look who looks like a genius now. Cliff Kingsbury, undefeated, going to the Rams, who just beat the Bucks. We're doing transitive properties, beating the Super Bowl champs. Like, this is a really good team.
What was it? Cliff Kingsbury was 40-45 at Texas Tech, yeah, or 45-50
under
at Texas
500.
Tech. Can you guys put it at the poll on the poll here? It's somewhere at Lebatard Show. What's the better name, Stu Gatz? Max Williams with two X's or Dawson Knox? The better football name.
I'm scared to talk. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you correctly. You're not okay. Muted. You did this successfully. You're headed soon into your Sunday night, right? You're wildly gyrating into your Sunday night, and look out, Abby. Those 13 seconds are going to be joyous.
There's a 5 minute shave coming up, maybe a 10 minute shave, and then you're right about 15 seconds. This shave will be way longer. Sorry, Smitty. Max Williams, two X's. Anytime you have a Max with two X's, that's the better name.
How do you feel about your Jets?
Because awesome.
You do? Okay, you do. So now because usually at this time of the season, when you're starting 0-3, you're usually trying to fake us out by saying it doesn't bother you and you want them to lose all their games. You don't want them to lose. You don't want them to be so bad that they get the first round pick or anything like that.
No, I want to find out if I have a quarterback. And when given the time, I think I might have, Dan, I might have a quarterback. Mike, I might have a quarterback. Yeah, he looked good today. Like when given the time and he could step in the throws, he looks good. The throw he missed at the end of the game was terrible, but the one he made in overtime was absolutely beautiful. And I was happy to see him win, man. They fought hard. The defense played well. You know, it's a good team without their two best.
I can't believe you're already saying that you have a quarterback. I can't believe that you've talked yourself into that already.
I don't know. Dan, I told you the easy part of the schedule is coming up. I mean, listen, 17 games. I mean, anything can happen.
It's ridiculous. The Titans, it was funny. It is always interesting to me, and I never know how to do it because I was surprised that that line was so small, even without the wide receivers out, because the Jets have looked totally incompetent. And then football happens, and the Titans end up looking exactly like you figured they would look if they don't have any wide receivers and are just handing the ball to Derrick Henry the entire time. They're super physical, but I did not see stuff from the Jets today that made me think, what is that, Mike? Is that just Stugatz being hopeful there? Like, he's second in the draft. He's going to be able to make some throws. Like, he's not going to look incompetent. The fact that he makes three or four throws and all of a sudden you're saying you might have a quarterback when he's the second pick in the draft, he's not going to be incompetent all season. He's going to be able to do something once in a while.
No, but he made some really good throws and he improvised. I think that hot route that he called for at the end of the game was like a really massive throw for the team. And not many quarterbacks in the NFL, honestly, can make that throw rolling to their right and just improvising like that. There are signs of encouragement. And while, yes, that's Tennessee without A.J. Brown, without Julio Jones, it's still a decent enough team, and this is a New York Jet team that we were all thinking.
Wait a minute. Wait. I got to stop you, okay? Because I heard in the middle of that game, I heard this barrage. The Jets are averaging 6.6 points per game. That is their first half touchdown. That is their third touchdown of the season. Like, the two of you get out of here with telling me after that game, when the Titans don't have any receivers, that the Jets have some reason to hope this season.
Dan, let me add to that. The first time they got into the red zone today was the fourth time they had entered the red zone the entire season. So can you let me be happy? I mean, seriously. And they won a game against a good team. They did. They won a game against a good team at home. And the quarterback.
No, the answer to your question is no, I can't let you be happy. The Chiefs that you were saying are, they don't look right, and that there's something wrong with them, and that they're a note off. Every time they're in the red zone, they score. Every time today that they go into the red zone, I can't imagine, Jessica, what this is like for you to watch. The problem with your team is the quarterback.
Well, Dan, I don't know if you know, but the Steelers just scored a rushing touchdown. So we're within, I think, 4 points of covering here. So the season might be saved.
Your first round running back.
Who's going to suffer the most around here this
year? I'm already suffering so much.
Well, but which is going to end up being worse between you and Stugatz? Because Stugatz knows that it's just hope for Stugatz. Go ahead. No,
I'm starting over, and I think I have a quarterback, Dan, so I have some hope. Smetty has not started over yet, okay? I've started over 1,000 times. She hasn't started over in 15 years. She's about to start over and see how hard it is because she is seeing the very end of a man's career. I have hope. That's what I have. She doesn't even have that, okay? So it's much more difficult for her.
The difference is that she actually has a coach that's competent, and you've never had a coach that's competent.
Good point.
I don't know, guys. I just think the season, it might be saved. We don't know. Ben could get better in week 5. The elbow could regenerate. I have to say this in all seriousness. The Steelers fan base, I think – people were starting to jump on the Ben is old bandwagon. I think this game against the Packers finally was the moment. There was one moment last weekend against the Bengals where he fell over his own feet that did it for a lot of people. But I think this performance today, I don't know where we go from here. Matt Canada already said on Friday, I think, like, hey, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. So clearly the Bengals game did not register for the coaching staff. But this game, this has been about as brutal as you could expect from the Steelers offense.
The next three games for the Pittsburgh Steelers at home against the Denver Broncos, coming off a loss, but that's a very good defense still, even though we saw what happened today with Drew Locke. Then the Steelers host the Seahawks slated for Sunday Night Football, and then they have to travel to Cleveland. Very good chance. Maybe they go 1-2 in those games, Jess, but this is feeling like the painful end of Ben's reign over there.
For Spencer Ridler, is that the – that doesn't rhyme with anything, so I don't know where – Spencer Rattler. I just said Ridler because I was watching the Cincinnati game on Saturday. My weekend was just not super great for any of my team's offenses.
The Bearcats.
Notre Dame was awful. You were not a gracious loser.
No.
Are any of you guys like this, though? Do you want Denver to stop ruining the late games? Because Denver exists here to just get in everyone's way and make Lamar Jackson less interesting.
I think in the overall, Fangs is good with a 23-7 loss. It sounds odd, but I think, you
know. Yeah. Teddy got hurt. Teddy got hurt. That wraps up the film session for the week. Teddy got hurt. All right. We'll prepare for the Steelers.
Stugatz, do you know anything about Nick Mangold's agent? Because I don't think the Jets have produced anything better than Nick Mangold's agent. Why does a random center from the Jets from many years ago have a Bud Light Seltzer commercial?
I have no idea. What? You didn't see it, Tony?
No, I haven't seen it. Well, what is it? Can somebody explain it to me? Like, how do you know he's his agent?
It doesn't, but the fact that he's in any commercial, I think, is what Dan is saying.
Yes, that I'm saying the fact that Nick Mangold is getting, what sense does that make? I don't understand. A random set, Nick Mangold has been, stays getting commercials. He was getting them from when he was playing in New York. When do centers get commercials?
There was like a 4-year span, I believe, between like 2014 and 2016 where he was in everything. Like, that dude was everywhere. I don't know what it is. He has to have a good agent. Maybe he has a family member in the biz, but I've seen more Nick Mangold than I've seen any other offensive lineman in the history of the NFL in terms of commercial appearances.
In this Bud Light Seltzer commercial, he's wearing the new Jets uniforms. It's a uniform that he never actually suited up in. It's been like 3 years and he's just wearing the new Jets. I had to look up if he was still playing.
You got the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills have, I think I heard the stat today, either 9 of the last 10 or 10 of the last 11 games they've won by double digits. They smoke Houston today. Good God, you cannot play in this league with your third string quarterback. He had like 75. Davis, what is his name? Neck Foles? Is it Davis? Is Davis Mills? He had 75 yards, like totally incompetent. And you saw what happened with the Dolphins. You can't, when you're the Dolphins, you can't just expect to win at home against broken Carson Wentz and Mo Alley Cox when you need to get to 2-2. That division is so bad, and Buffalo's going to end up, they're going to end up owning it for a while.
100%. Mike, I have a question for you. Dan's right. Like, Buffalo's going to own that division. They're going to own it for a while, unless my quarterback becomes really, really good, and we'll see about that. But is Buffalo, Mike?
It's unbelievable. I'm going to read it again before you get started. Going into the game, they were averaging 6.6 points per game.
Yeah.
They scored their first half touchdown today, and their third touchdown of the year was scored today when they started scoring.
And they were averaging 0 wins per game. And today they averaged 1 win. How about that?
one hot route and he's alive in the division. One hot route and Stugatz talks himself into, I'm going to be there at the top of the division for the next decade.
No, but I want to ask Mike a serious question, because Mike's got the best football team by far. Like, if anyone in this room, Mike's got the best football team by far. They're Super Bowl good. You're going to get mad at me, but Baker doesn't have to be great for them to be good. He just needs to be good, right? But is Buffalo the best team in the NFL? Because I think they won 40-0 today, and they didn't even play that well, Mike. I'm serious.
They can't be the best team in the NFL because Tony's saying Arizona's the best team in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's
and
so
Stephen
many
A. Smith, and Stephen A. Smith's running scared now. He's scared of what this season's going to look like, because the Cowboys can score, and they could score a lot of different ways. You saw you guys see that they've got a defensive player. This Trayvon Diggs has it's a pick six and 5 interceptions in 4 games. Like, they are not, they were an apocalypse on defense last year, and they're going to be competent on defense this year.
You're talking about the Cowboys.
Cowboys are super physical. It jumps off the screen. I don't know if physicality is sustainable, especially when it's not necessarily something that we saw year to year. Even Ezekiel Elliott was kind of feeling the pressure because everybody was doing the Pollard is the best back shows, right? And then on Monday night, Zeke just starts finishing runs in a way that we haven't seen in several years. I know that was Carolina without Christian McCaffrey, but it was still short week, short turnaround for Dallas to be able to do that and still be super physical to the point that it kind of hurts watching the other team absorb the Dallas Cowboys. they're going to host a playoff game, and they're going to be in that mix in the NFC. They're fun. And I know week one, the turnover numbers were kind of funky, but I like the way that they match up against the likes of Tampa Bay, Dan.
When Jessica's mentioning Rattler, are you guys seeing something there that I'm not seeing?
Like a quarterback I wouldn't want on my team. I mean,
what do you think you're seeing there that I'm not seeing over the last couple of seasons at Oklahoma?
I mean, they have a rich tradition of good quarterbacks in the NFL. I guess, like, that's all that I care about. Kyler Murray's pretty good. I guess I'll give Baker Mayfield some credit. Even Jalen Hurts is not bad. I mean, at this point, anyone better than Ben Roethlisberger, right? Like, other than Mason Rudolph.
Hold on. I've got to stop right here because the Jalen Hurts just complete trashing from this show, it's not happening anymore. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. Yeah, but he's a good quarterback. And I posed this question to Chris Cody, and the coward did not answer. Jalen Hurts or Tua? I stand by me picking Jalen Hurts over Tua every single time. So I really like Jalen Hurts.
Mike Ryan is a Jalen Hurts guy.
Yeah, I never really got why Philadelphia never fully supported him. He was clearly the best option on that. They were talking about Joe Flacco starting over him this preseason. It doesn't seem like it's a great year for quarterbacks, Jess. If you're looking to find the next Ben Roethlisberger, I actually kind of like the Liberty quarterback, but there isn't like the prototype.
You saw the coy smile between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. That is the pipe dream. If that happens, all will be saved.
Oh, it's not happening.
The Steelers franchise is saved. He's the savior.
Yes, he's not taking Cheyenne Woodley to Pittsburgh. That's not happening.
Pittsburgh's had a real resurgence in the last 10 years. It is a tech hub. Right. Uber headquarters. Google has headquarters there.
This is absurd. I am not going to do this show with Stu Gotts and Jessica this way, where they just talk themselves into every goddamn absurdity in the universe because they just need to find hope somewhere.
Mike's talking about the Liberty quarterback.
Well, that was why I was laughing.
He really isn't bad. Yeah.
It's a funny sentence. You've got to admit, laughing at last season at Hugh Freeze coaching and getting shut out while in a hospital bed in the press box. It's a funny sentence. You can't deny that the Liberty quarterback is good is not a funny sentence.
Maybe if they hadn't lost to Syracuse last weekend, I'd be higher on Malik Cunningham, I think his name is. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers is goals.
Stu Gotts here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
But I have a serious question, Mike. It's not about, you know, Jalen Hurts is clearly the best quarterback option for the Eagles, but I think the reason they didn't support him is they don't think they probably think within that organization that he's not good enough to get him to a Super Bowl, you know? And they probably know that.
Like, team.
But we talk about all the time. If you give a guy a start, he can get 320 yards and 2 touchdowns, which is what Jalen Hurts did today, you know?
He's making stuff happen.
I mean, how do you think he does that?
I think the NFL has kind of changed. Wait, the Green Lizard. I mean, that was a fun game.
What kind of compliment is that? I think that that is a lukewarm, tepid compliment. He's making things happen. That's literally every person walking the earth is making things happen. Anybody who's mobile, you could make the argument that while people sleep, they create testosterone, and therefore, with that rest, they make things happen. Anyone capable of breath is capable of making things happen. What kind of compliment is that?
Lamar Jackson won an MVP making things happen. It's just, you know, he's like Lamar Light. They don't have great weapons. They don't have a great offensive line. I know they're building. They drafted kind of okay this year. They're trying to build out some offensive weapons for him. But, you know, he's making things happen. They're a scrappy out. They're fun to watch.
Yes.
Sam Darnold is making things happen with his legs. I saw that. I saw they gave the stat that he's got more rushing touchdowns. I don't know if it's still the case after the late games than Kyler and Lamar. the Matt Rule's genius is pegged to, you guys didn't expect me to take this Lego fireman and make him be able to scramble and score rushing touchdowns.
How do you look against a good team? I mean, honestly. I mean, he's no Zach Wilson.
Shut up. Shut up with Zach Wilson. It's not a good team without Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. Everyone's, like, crapping on Tannehill.
They don't play defense, though. They don't play defense, Mike. Julio Jones and A.J. Brown don't play defense. Zach Wilson was carving them up.
He was. The hot route was elite.
He's played two good halves this season. He's played two good halves. Like, what are you guys talking about?
It's all about
no idea if he's good.
Man.
I have no idea.
How about, though, honest to God, what are you supposed to do? Somebody explain it to me with Tyreek Hill. How in a league of athletes is he so much obviously faster than everyone else and more terrifying than everyone else? What was it? He had almost 200 yards and three touchdowns today. And he's like, you know, he's what they call it. Like it seems like his body is made like out of the same material that they make bowling balls out of, where he can run 50 yards downfield past your entire secondary, or he could also do slant routes up the, over the middle that you're not going to be able to do anything about.
Did you enjoy that? We told you they were going to be able to feast on the Philadelphia Eagles, and they were careless. They were reckless with the football. It doesn't quite look like it's going to be as efficient as ever, but they can do that against the likes of Philadelphia, and it was fun. Tyreek Hill, when he gets out in the open field, when he gets past the second level, it's as fun as anything in the sport watching Patrick Mahomes cock back and hit that guy open in stride.
He had 11 catches, 186 yards, three touchdowns. Like, but here's the thing. Dan's right, because I noticed it today, probably for the first time. Usually he's just going deep. He was doing different things today. Like, he was going over the middle. He's making, you know, 10-yard grabs. Like, it was a bit different than I normally. I think his long was 44.
He's so dangerous everywhere, Stugatz. Yeah, he's dangerous behind the line of scrimmage, bubble screens, everywhere he's dangerous.
I think the evolution of Tyreek Hill has been, now his route tree has opened up, where he used to be just a straight line speed guy down the field. Now he's doing stuff in the middle of the field. And what, I mean, Philadelphia's defense is basically run funnel. So they'll go out and not really take away the pass, but try to take away the run more so. And they took away Travis Kelce at 4 for 23. So when you try to take away that middle of the field, Tyreek Hill just has everywhere to operate, everything else.
I want to congratulate you. I think you've set a record here for using the phrase route tree on this show.
I was going to say the same thing during any segment.
But Mike, explain this to me, because I don't understand how Odell Beckham goes from being the best receiver in the league or second best receiver in the league, and we have yet to see him in Cleveland. You've seen the Cleveland Browns look good without him, but you don't see him be good with Cleveland. We've seen it. What has he got? 200 yard games his entire time there?
Dan, it's been 4 years since we've seen Odell Beckham be good. Since we've seen Odell Beckham be arguably best receiver in the league good. And even 4 years ago, you were signing him like a really hot start before he got taken out of the lineup. He's just not the same player, and that's fine. I'm very curious to see what happened in that post-game press conference to see if Baker owned up to missing a throw or if Odell just broke off an out route that would have ended that game, because Baker was giving him an earful on the sideline a little bit. It seemed as though Odell broke off a route to try to just house it and be cool. For whatever reason, Baker and Odell haven't been able to be on the same page, I mean, their entire career in Cleveland. And Baker has been really efficient with the football. You look at his completion percentage when he's not targeting Odell Beckham, it's unreal. It's damn near 80%.
It's so weird.
Yeah, but the offense changed. Mike, the offense changed.
I have a representative sample to say that there's something up when Baker is targeting Odell. I just don't think at this point it's chance. And maybe Baker is the kind of quarterback that needs to go through his progressions, doesn't necessarily need an elite receiver. And he has trouble when he's just targeting Odell Beckham. I think maybe Cleveland's better off just
how this doesn't away. Make sense. What do you mean? How? I mean, don't understand what you're saying.
4.5 years is a long time, Dan. That it's been a really long time.
I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm asking you to explain it to me. I don't understand how a guy Eli Manning was toast at the end of his career. That it's not like Odell Beckham was making that happen with a superior quarterback. It was with a spent Eli Manning.
No, what's confusing, Mike, is at one point we were talking about it, me and Dan were, you were as well, about Odell Beckham maybe being the best receiver we've ever seen, right? But I think what happened, correct me if I'm wrong, in general, the offense changed. He got injured. He wasn't there. Stefanski came in. They started running the football, and they got away from throwing the football because they don't have to anymore.
Well, if you listen to Baker and the rest of the Browns, they explain that, you know, because of COVID, they didn't really have their full offense installed until after that Cincinnati game, which is funny because they were struggling up until the point that he tore his ACL in that Cincinnati game, and then Baker had one of his best games in the pro. I think it's a larger issue. I just don't – it's kind of oil and water with Baker and Odell at this point, and I have zero evidence to say that it's not. They need to figure it out real soon. Otherwise, I think at the trade deadline, you have to think about something, and that's not a slight on either Baker – or Odell. I just don't think they're a match, Dan.
I can't believe it's taken me this long to get to it. But the thing with Urban Meyer, as if it couldn't get any worse, I feel like that laugh that Tony just gave you was football fans. Was the sound football fans, if they could make a sound collectively of like, wow, it's going to get worse for Urban Meyer. He's going to be videoed in a bar. I just don't understand how you can be that dumb. Is that just an old person who doesn't realize that people are watching all the time everywhere?
I don't know what that is. Do you think his agent had to call him and be like, hey, get home now? And they had to get like a crisis PR firm on the line to figure out what to do? Because that video got taken down off of Twitter like two hours after a ton of people were retweeting it. And you just have to wonder what anyone who knows Urban Meyer was thinking seeing that, because I don't know how I can't remember the last time a NFL coach did something that publicly stupid.
Set it up for the audience, just so, for those who have not seen the video. It's a bar. It's a young woman, and there's some gyrations, not unlike whatever Stugatz is headed into after he shaves tonight with a woman who is younger and is not his wife. I'm uncomfortable with all of it, by the way. None of that feels I suppose it's in play, and it should be in play. Tony, clearly not uncomfortable with it.
I'm uncomfortable with it.
I'm not uncomfortable with it.
I saw it on the way home from the Notre Dame game, and I was like, oh, God. And my dad is like, what's going on? I was like, nothing. And then, like, we get home. He opens Twitter. It's the first thing on his Twitter feed, and I watch him watch this video, and I felt like I was 12 years old watching a sex scene with my parents in the basement again. I was mortified watching my dad watch this video, and he's like, what is this? What? I was like, yeah, that's Urban Meyer, Dad.
Again? You said again? I was watching a sex scene with my parents in the basement again?
That's everyone's had that one time where you watch a movie, you don't know there's going to be a sex scene, and your parents are there, and then it gets really awkward. You don't know if you should laugh or if you should just get up and leave.
Last week, it happened to me last week.
I'm uneasy with all of it. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the blogs have generally cooled on this. I don't know if people have just learned to be more litigious, and maybe the Hulk Hogan thing changed stuff, but now it's on social media first. And sometimes it's an irresponsible whiff with maybe someone you presume to be the quarterback of America's team when it's not actually the quarterback of America's team. And sometimes it's stuff like this. Look, with Urban Meyer, there were loads of rumors as to why he left Florida. Those were the actions of someone that felt very comfortable in that situation. And it's looking like one of the more disastrous head coach signings in recent history, because now you got the embarrassment on top of that.
He's used to being guarded in those situations, but why, like, you guys really, you feel bad? Like, I mean, he's a public figure.
No, who said they feel bad? I think it's
odd. You feel like you're prying into his life by watching that
definitely,
video?
It's definitely, like, weird and uncomfortable, but yeah, he's a public figure doing something in a public place. This is why celebrities don't go to Urban Meyer's bar in Columbus, Ohio and get, you know, look like they've been drinking, which there was a tweet saying that he was drinking. I obviously don't know that for a fact, but like, this is why we don't see head coaches out at bars a lot, because people take videos and pictures of them and everything can go viral in like 5 seconds.
Look, and the other thing too was the tweet surrounding the video was of him with other people taking pictures, clearly in the same little zip up quarter sleeve, pink thing. Like, there was just a lot of weird thing. And not to go too far into the rabbit hole of the whole, I did a lot of sleuthing last night with the Urban Meyer situation, but his wife was also
Detective
taking care
Tony
of his
was
grandkids.
On the case.
Yeah, his wife was taking care of his grandkids at the house, saying that Urban deserved the night off. And then I'm looking at the video and I'm like, I don't know if that kind of night off is what you meant. It's a lot of weird stuff.
Mike, what are you talking about though, litigious? Like, what could be the litigious side of this?
I mean, Deadspin and AJ, they all got ruined by the...
I understand what happened with Gawker and
that was Hogan. That was a private video that the person didn't know they were being... That was going to be, like, videotaped and then put on the internet. That's kind of like... This, like, he's out in public at a bar, just posting it to social media.
Well, the tweet disappeared. So I think there are some people that have very scary language to scare people away from even posting it. But... the blogs have hesitated, where now narratives go out of control with social media, and some things aren't true, and you have to even be more discerning now, because at least in the old days, which kind of feels like the Wild West, you still had an editor before Deadspin ran with something, and now it's just, it's out there, and you go with it. I mean, that was very clearly Urban Meyer. I'm not saying that, but it's just like... There is no decorum now. And I mean, your judgment needs to be better, obviously, if you're Urban Meyer, for a myriad of reasons. But we also kind of have a responsibility to be like, I want to shut this thing off.
It's interesting that you say this, because Stu Gotts, and I believe probably most of the people watching this or listening to this, feel the same sort of entitlement. Even if you have your discomforts on public figure, public place, it's all fair game. So let's examine the next step on this. If you're crisis management, and this is not what you want near your 0-4 football team, when these guys obsess 18 hours a day about whatever they got to do next game, and now he's got to handle this both at home and in public, what do you do? What's the next step on this? Like, if you're getting your PR team together, are you apologizing to your family? Are you saying that you're hugely embarrassed? Are you falling on the sword? Are you denying it? Are you lying? Like, what advice are you guys giving to Urban Meyer right now, if what we saw is accurate, it's 100% that what you think you were watching there is what you were watching there, do you just start lying?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
no, you do. Urban Meyer has a playbook. He's had several scandals around him, and while Twitter wasn't around, maybe in full force by the time he left Florida, he's got similar things that he can lean off of in his history, and he's just got to do that. I mean, I don't know. Can we go back just a couple of months ago to when there was a shirtless guy on the boat that he told, no, get out of the camera shot, dude? Like, all that surrounds Urban Meyer is icky, and it has been for over 10 years. And at this point, I think collectively both universities and pro football teams got to be like, you're just not worth it at this point. And it's going to be very hard for a college football team to say that, because everywhere he goes, he's successful and he may pop up in a couple of years, but it almost feels like this is one and done. If the question for me in Jacksonville is, can Urban get to the one and done?
Like finish the season, Mike.
It doesn't seem like he can.
If he wanted to go back to college today, universities would line up to sign him. With the exception of Alabama and Clemson, probably. They'd all line up, Mike.
I don't know. Clemson might be in a market right now, falling out of the top 25. Let's talk about this for a second off of Stugatz's buoyant hope that Zach Wilson can actually be something. After 3 weeks, we made the assessment. All of these rookie quarterbacks look so far like they're not ready, like they're amateur, like rookie quarterbacks have always looked throughout the history of the league almost, who aren't named Justin Herbert or Dan Marino. Usually young guys come in and they struggle because, guys, you're watching this, right? You're seeing the same thing I am. I cannot believe two things that I'm watching every week. One, how quickly and decisively quarterbacks are getting rid of the football accurately. But how many plays I'm watching every Sunday where the defense is playing perfectly and a guy is rushing untouched and Sam Darnold, not Aaron Rodgers, not Sam Darnold with two guys in his face is making some absurd throw to the perfect place to a guy who's not open because that position, the precision has gotten extraordinary. The rookie quarterbacks looked more competent today. It wasn't just Zach Wilson. It was Justin Fields. He still fumbles too much. He doesn't know what he's doing sometimes. But Trey Lance had moments that looked like, okay, here's the way the position's going to evolve away from Joe Flacco and Ben Roethlisberger. It's going to keep going toward the Kyler Murrays and the Jalen Hurtses of the world, where if you're only going to give me 2.5 and 3 seconds in the pocket and my quarterback has to be as good as Tom Brady in under 3 seconds, how about I just move the pocket around and give my quarterback 6 and 7 and 8 seconds because you can't catch him, because catching him is like trying to catch a fly with chopsticks. And the rookie quarterbacks, this was their most competent week.
I thought Justin Fields had, I don't know if you guys saw that pass to Darnell Mooney. That was like the best, it wasn't a touchdown, but it was probably one of the best thrown balls I've seen a Bears quarterback make in a couple of years, few years. He looked really good. And last weekend, their offensive line couldn't block anything. I know they were playing the Lions today, but I had the Bears in the grid of death, by the way. I was a little nervous about that, but they ended up winning. This is the kind of game that the Bears win. And then Matt Nagy and the front office are like, well, look at us. We're 2-2. We don't have to make any changes. Things are going great. They end up finishing the season in some kind of like mediocre, sputtering out fashion, and nothing changes. So it was a great day in Chicago is what I'm trying to say. Great day.
I'll even say this, going back to Thursday's game, like Urban Meyer figured out a way, at least a little bit, to use Trevor Lawrence. Like he was running him a bit. He actually looked – that was the best game Trevor Lawrence had played by far. Thus far for Jacksonville. So to your point, Dan, I think you're right, because, you know, Zach Wilson looked better today. Lance looked pretty good today. We'll see how, you know, the one quarterback that's a pocket quarterback is Mac Jones, and we'll see how he looks. But you're right, for the most part, this was the best week by far for the rookie quarterbacks.
So I was really encouraged to see Trey Lance get out there, and obviously they had Jimmy Garoppolo out with a calf strain with bunny ears attached to that, just to see what they had in Trey Lance. And to me, like, looking at him in that offense, in that jersey, like, I almost had flashes of Colin Kaepernick when he came out in the league and set the league on fire. That's what I saw with Trey Lance for a quick second. Like, there was plays where he was getting out of pressure and he was rolling out to his left, finding people across the field. He was juking people out in the middle of the field. Like, Trey Lance is obviously an athlete, but he reminds me of that Colin Kaepernick hybrid. Okay, I can throw, but I can also run. And I think they have a really good player on their team.
Are you guys as fascinated as I am by the way that these things are standing out, where you're like, oh, look, Teddy Bridgewater, not quite athletic enough. Like, you're going to need to, at that position, you're going to keep needing to become more and more athletic because these coaches are going to figure out ways. There'll be an occasional drop back quarterback, but I think that the toothpaste is out of the tube on this one. Like, These you don't think so, Mike. You think that
Who are you watching? 10 years left to Brady. I mean,
yeah, who are you watching tonight? Sunday Night Football. I mean,
Michael
who's
Jones.
Lifting the Lombardi Trophy? Yeah. No, there is a great lane for pocket passers so long as they're elite. And the thing, what a mobile quarterback buys you is, okay, I may not be elite, but I can make something happen, like Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson, and I can just do something on the ground game. Whereas if I'm a pocket passer, I need to be extra special. And guys that people want to move, like Ben Roethlisberger, who's no longer mobile. He was once at one point in his career. Even Jimmy Garoppolo, who is a pocket passer. Or like, you have to be on it if you're going to be a pocket passer. But I will not stand for the day of the pocket passer.
Hold on. I'm not making it extinct. I'm making it more.
You're trying to, though.
I'm making it more endangered. And what I'm doing is, if Kyler Murray can beat you on 3rd and 15 because he could throw to three different guys you can't cover, and also he scrambles out for 16 yards, that then he's providing for you another element that you have to defend against that you can't defend against. And when I say all things being equal, the pocket passer has to not merely be what Kyler Murray is in the pocket. He then has to be better as a pocket passer because he can't do the other thing that Kyler Murray can do. And when you're exploiting market inefficiencies and a salary cap sport, you try to get these pieces that have all manner of tools. I'm not saying that you still can't be Tom Brady. I'm saying that the excellence of Tom Brady has to be where Tom Brady puts it so that he doesn't get eaten up by all the young people coming for his position.
But there's different kinds of mobile quarterbacks. Kyler Murray is still the exception. He's not the rule. I think to Mike, like what Mike is saying is Ben Roethlisberger was a mobile quarterback. He could run and get you 15 yards, but what he really did was just move the pocket. Like, to me, Justin Herbert isn't a mobile quarterback. He's just a guy that can move the pocket a bit and buy himself three extra seconds, much the way Aaron Rodgers can. Like, there's different kinds of mobile quarterbacks. There's very few. Lamar Jackson. There's two of them. There's Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray.
No, we're talking about maybe Hurts. Josh Allen. Josh Allen is that.
Yeah.
Guys.
No, he's super mobile. Look, most people are going to – because you expand the margin of error if you have someone that can move the pocket and be mobile. That's obviously the mold, but – if you're not mobile, as we'll see tonight with Tom Brady, you have to be able to get rid of the ball quickly. And that was fortified by 20 years experience in the league. Yes, it's probably more of an endangered skill set, but it's ridiculous that we keep talking about the evolution of this league. Guys like Kyler Murray, guys like Lamar Jackson. And yet tonight, in what may be one of the highest rated NFL regular season games of all time, you have a dinosaur back there that is still operating at the highest level, that is fronting a team that is one of the Super Bowl favorites, and he's getting rid of the ball quicker than he ever has in his entire career. He's a freak.
Is pocket passing going to be reliant on scheme now? Right? Like, because everybody has their own scheme that they're bringing to their own team. And if your scheme is set for a pocket passer, like Josh McDaniels has been setting a scheme for Tom Brady for 15 years or whatever it's been. Now Mac Jones is there. They're not going to all this. That's why maybe it didn't work with Cam Newton. Obviously, he was dusted and just completely done. But this scheme is fit for Mac Jones. Like, what's the scheme going to look like in the future? It's going to have to be people that are mobile.
You guys, I understand what you're doing, but what I'm simply putting in front of you is the guys who are being drafted look more and more like Josh Allen. It's not you. We've talked before about Ben Roethlisberger being in the pocket and just how large he is, how hard he is to bring down, how people bounce off of him. But you see, as the sport ravages Carson Wentz, for example, trying to grit and grind and eat glass through all the athleticism required at the position, and then you see Josh Allen effortlessly roll to his right and throw the ball 40 yards to Diggs running through the end zone, pinpoint, and you're like, oh, if that can happen, that's something that the past quarterbacks simply are not physically capable of doing. And it seems like that's where we're headed. I don't know that it can even be disputed. Like, this is how endangerment happens throughout survival of the fittest. Something arrives that can do things that make the other thing look slightly more obsolete. I don't think this sport is going to look like that 15 years from now. I don't think that Tom Brady is going to be given 20 years to master the position with that kind of precision the way that he's mastered.
I think most people would agree with you, because outside of really a handful of exceptions, one that we're about to watch on Sunday Night Football, the sport doesn't look that way. Even the quarterbacks that we bandied about, the good-looking quarterback from Liberty and Spencer Rattler and even Sam Howell over at North Carolina, there aren't these traditional pocket passers getting into the NFL because it's all about widening that margin of error, Dan. Like, if something breaks down in the pocket, you want someone that can give you a positive play. It's going to be a real interesting game, though, seeing that Bill Belichick just needs a game plan for that skill set that, after all these years, is still getting rid of the ball quicker. I think that's how, if you're a pocket passer, you widen your margin of error. Like, okay, I'm not going to scoot away from you with my feet, but you're not going to get to me because I'm getting rid of the ball in under 2 seconds.
Dan, listen to me. It is raining in Foxborough. Brady is like a Super Bowl. He is fired up. I am telling you right now, he's the best bad weather quarterback of all time. All right. I have a question for you. Would Belichick give a ring back if he could beat Brady by 3 touchdowns tonight? Would he? How about that? What do you think he would? You do. I can tell.
I like it.
I am not laughing because I do think that, or you're getting agreement from me. I am laughing because give a ring back. I just love the idea of him going, you know what? The one where I beat Jake DeLome. I'll give that one back. I'll give that one back in exchange for just taking out Brady in bad weather. Jessica, have you been drinking all weekend? Have you been?
Yes.
Okay. So you went to the Notre Dame football game, and the Cincinnati Bearcats produced the single biggest win in their program's history. And afterward, in a moment of decorum that was not very strong for you, you then predicted that the Cincinnati Bearcats would lose 44-3 to Alabama in the Orange Bowl, the same way Notre Dame does when they end up in the Orange Bowl against Alabama.
And I made a mistake. I regret that, because as we all saw on Saturday, Cincinnati's field goal kicker is not very good. So I don't think it would be 44-3, maybe 44-0 or 44-7.
Excellent. Excellent work by you. Mike, you still want to cling to the outlier examples of pocket passers. Why are you defending the pocket passer?
I feel like we're dramatic in ending the pocket passer. We're going to see an undefeated pocket passer on Monday Night Football with Derek Carr. You know, you can have a nice career for yourself. You don't have to be Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray's a unicorn, Dan, as Tom Brady.
I think Herbert's the unicorn. I think Herbert's the unicorn.
There can't be more than one unicorn. Defeats the.
Let's see how Monday night goes. We attribute like this crazy success. Maybe it's the hair. I'm not exactly sure. Winning at Arrowhead certainly helps. But then you start going through the stats on Justin Herbert, and you're like, whoa, I thought this guy was way better. So we all project.
Oh, no,
I project right there with you with Justin Herbert, but his stats aren't top of the league.
He's going to keep growing. He's doing in his first year what he did in his first year. Look at how these other rookies have looked in their first year, and it's not. Yes, and his stats are going to blow all of theirs away. Whatever hope
you're finding. He just beat Mahomes.
Well, but not just that. It was all of last year. Like, right. You say his stats aren't that good compared to who? The MVP of the league? Like, they're rookies.
Compared to all the other quarterbacks in the league. Forget rookies. Like, not like there are two rookies that play. Like, Joe Burrow played and he got hurt half the year. Compared to other quarterbacks in the league, like, I'm not taking the position that Justin Herbert isn't good. Yeah, I feel like you're pigeonholing me into that, and I don't appreciate it.
But you said his stats aren't that good. Like,
his stats are fine. His stats, like, he's a good quarterback, but you have him at the elite, and his stats don't necessarily reflect that. There are five quarterbacks in his own conference that
I have him growing into elite because he's not anywhere near where.
Well, you have him knighted, Dan, as like one of the top quarterbacks.
He's going to be. That's why.
I'm with you, Mike. I have a pocket pass, Mike.
He's not the best. He's the third best quarterback in his own division right now. If you look at the stats in his own division, not the AFC, in his own division.
Okay, and one of them's the best quarterback ever.
And the other one is Derek Carr. That's exactly my point. Like, Justin Herbert's really good. We all project Justin Herbert to potentially be in the MVP conversation down the line, but let's pump the brakes on Justin Herbert. Like, beat Derek Carr on Monday.
Mike, we have Joe Burrow. I mean, relax. Take a deep breath, okay? We have Joe Burrow. He's very good. He's a pocket passer.
What's Dan, the
just hear me out for a second. I don't know. I don't know why I said we, but Dan, just hear me out for a second, okay? Falcons.
I will hear you out for a second. I just don't understand why you and Mike are protecting the pocket passer the way you would your ailing grandparents. Like, I don't understand what's happening.
I'll tell you why, Dan. The NFL needs pocket passers as well, okay? I mean, it just does. I mean, the NFL's a better place for the couple of pocket passers.
I don't like where this is going. I don't like where this is going.
You guys know where it's going. You know where it's going.
No, I got Teddy Bridgewater. I got Teddy Bridgewater. You cool it? You cool it? I have Teddy Bridgewater and my alliance of pocket passers, but I'm just saying we've done this.
You've got Jameis. You still got Jameis.
We've done this for the last 30 years where we try to push out the pocket passers.
Who's trying to push out the pocket passer?
You are.
Everyone is defending the pocket passer. They changed the rules for the pocket passer.
Dan, I've worked for you for like close to 20 years. You were trying to push out pocket passers, and then Peyton Manning setting the touchdown record with like – two working vertebrae in its neck. Like, let's just chill out.
Weird vendetta against pocket passers.
Stugatz, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
I just want you to hear me out for a second. The Falcons, Dana, okay? The Patriots, not a very good team. Home with the Bengals, the Colts. Then we have the Dolphins. Then we have the Texans. I mean, Jets are in the mix, you know?
Yes.
You mentioned Joe Burrow. You saw he was mic'd for sound, and you love this stuff, Stugatz. He was mic'd for sound, and he was wandering, prowling the sidelines like a Bengal against the Jaguars. And he said, just put it in my hand, and it's over. He was mic'd for sound. Quarterbacks, you don't get that sound out of quarterbacks very often.
But who doesn't like that? Like, who doesn't love that? Even you, admit it. Even you love that.
Of course.
Like,
what do you mean, admit it? What are you guys boxing me into?
I mean, a pocket passer with some confidence. I mean,
it's
such a ridiculous argument. Like, there are still teams that run a pro-style offense, and then there are teams that are really good at scheming for a spread or, like, an air raid offense, like the Cardinals. So it just depends what scheme your team is working with and if your coordinator can actually plan around you. Like, Matt Nagy did that pretty well in Mitch Trubisky's first year, wasn't good at it the rest of it, so Mitch Trubisky ended up sucking. If there was a pro-style quarterback back there, maybe Matt Nagy would have been better at it, maybe not. I don't even know if this is a good example. I hate Matt Nagy. He should be fired. But it just depends who your offensive coordinator are and if they suck or not. And right now, there's a lot of offensive coordinators on my shit list.
It's not even that you have something to take up with me. Look at who's being drafted young and at quarterback.
College football is all running spread offenses now, except for like Alabama. And even Alabama, like,
understood.
They act like the Alabama quarterback is like some fossil who can't move. Like, they're more like a Justin Herbert than a Tom Brady.
But that's how the pipeline works. Everyone in the league in the NBA notices, Steph Curry would be good to have. And then Damian Lillard is taking shots from half court. And Trae Young is changing the sport because he's doing, like, that's how it works. That's how evolution in survival of the fittest, where people are fighting over money, that's how it works. And you give me all of the young quarterbacks you're looking at that drop back and look like Peyton Manning who can't move his neck to his left and his right. Maybe Arch Manning will be that. Maybe Arch Manning will be that. Maybe the Mannings will protect you.
We need Arch on the Steelers.
Can I move off of my position because I don't like my allies? I don't like what's happening right now. I need Teddy Bridgewater to heal very quickly and win this division.
Wait till you get a load of Sam Howell. I mean,
no, he can scoot.
Oh, he can? Wow.
Yeah, he can scoot. Not a great comp.
Mike is scared. Mike is already scared.
Jack Cohn. Jack Cohn can't move to save his life.
He can't move for shit. Let's go.
He can't move for shit.
I want you guys to understand what's happening with Jess everywhere. She has now made Aaron Rodgers. She in the chat, she traded for Jimmy Garoppolo.
My God. Wouldn't that be great? A midseason trade to the Steelers? I would take Jimmy G on the Steelers.
Pocket passer.
Yep.
Not bad.
Not bad.
How miserable is the rest of this going to be for you, Jess, when all you're doing is trading for quarterbacks?
Honestly, Dan, like my grandma always used to tell me, life is a bitch and then you die.
All right. Thank you, guys. Wow, it was good talking to you again. Let's end on that note and let Jessica resume her drinking. I'll talk to you guys later.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.